Well, praise God. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge all the mothers today. This is a day that we call Mother's Day. It's a day that we acknowledge mothers. And, sometimes you can't say enough and you can't thank them enough for all the things that they've done for you over the years. And, if all the mothers would stand up for just a second, you too, Kathy, stand up. You're a mother in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a big hand, okay? We so appreciate you. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. You know, when questioning the Lord what he would have me share today, I feel like that we live in a time when people tend to dishonor old people, their fathers and their mothers, their grandparents sometimes, thinking, oh, they're just old fuddy-duds, and they don't know what they're saying, and we're smarter than they are, and we know way more than what they do, and a lot of young people feel that way today. But I tell you what, I never did feel like that. I used to love to sit and talk with old people because they knew things and experienced things that I would never know and never experience had they not told me. That's right. That's absolutely right. And you know, my first scripture today here is Exodus. I'm going to speak to you out of the Old Testament. And you're going to say, oh, Oscar, there was something said back in about the Ten Commandments. I'm going to give you one of the Ten Commandments today, okay? Okay, so it's Exodus 20, 12th verse. And out of the Ten Commandments, this is the fifth commandment, okay, that was given. And this was the only commandment given with a promise. None of the other commandments had a promise attached to them, but this had a promise attached to it. And the number five has the meaning of grace, of God's goodness, okay? And here's what it says. It says this. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. And you know, out of the mouth of two, three witnesses, let every word be established, Scripture says. In Deuteronomy 5:16, they emphasized it again. They said, honor your father and your mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that you may go well with thee, and in the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. Proverbs 1:8-9 says this, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. And you know, we as being fathers sometimes, we did a whole lot of instructing, and I think kids probably got tired sometimes of hearing dad telling them what to do. But we did a lot of instructing, you know. But it goes on and it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And I want you to know the law of mother usually was a law of love. And usually a law of protection also. And a law of sometimes mommy saying, you were awful hard on that kid. You maybe need to back off, you know, as being a dad. But you know what? Mothers have, they always are protecting their children and always in protecting mode of their kids. And thank God for that, because fathers tend to be too hard sometimes and tend to be a little too rough at times. But we're trying to make them grow up and be a man or a woman, and yet mom sometimes is a little too easy because they love them so much and they're just showing them all that love. And sometimes if you have a family where there's not a father in the family, Sometimes the kids run roughshod over the mother, and I hate to see that. Now, I was blessed in that I grew up only with a mother because my father died when I was 4 years old. And I was the youngest of four children. The oldest one was 10, and it went downhill from there to me, who I was four when my father passed away. And I was going to turn five that year, but I was four. And anyway, I believe God gave my mother the strength to be both mother and father, because she could be loving and forgiving and all that, but she also could be stern and corrective when she needed to be. And, you know, I, as a kid, sometimes probably put her through more than some of the other kids, because I had those seizures when I was little, and I had a chip on my shoulder as a kid, because if somebody said anything to me about that, basically there was going to be a fight, you know. And my brother used to, when he'd want to get at me, he'd make fun of me for having seizures, and he'd just get me livid, and I'd go after him, you know. And then he'd think it was funny, and he'd run from me. And a couple times, if I'd have caught up with him, he might not have lived very long, because he would get me that worked up. But you know what? God knows why all those things happen. He understands. He knew they were going to happen before they ever happened. And he knew that a lot of what the Lord was teaching me was to have compassion on other people when they're being tormented or being aggravated, you know. And I do, or when they have a problem. And I thank God for that. And in Proverbs 1, 8 and 9 says this, "My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and a chain about your neck." And it's not talking about a bad chain, it's talking about a gold chain, a chain of divinity. And I'm going to read that to you out of the Living, and it says this out of the Living, a New Living Translation, number 2, the second one. "My child, listen to your father's correction. Father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will be a crown under your a crown for you with grace, and be a chain of honor around your neck." You know, I told you before different times that my mother, I can't imagine what she went through when I was a kid, because when I was having those seizures, she had to leave me every morning and go to work. And she was not one that depended on the government. She did not, she believed that she was supposed to work. And back then, you couldn't get too much government help anyway. We did get some Social Security, but, she was a worker, and she was a very strong woman, and I probably made her cry more than the rest of them, because I did get in trouble in school and things when I was young. You know, I about got kicked out of school a couple times in grade school, and that's where most of mine went. But by the time I got up to the point where God was healing me, I kind of calmed down and didn't get in trouble too much more. But I thank God even for those times, because I learned a lot of things in the situations there. I learned that I had to ask God to help me control my anger when I would get mad, because I could get pretty mad sometimes. And, he did help me learn to do that. And anyway, mother would tell me after God healed me, and I've shared this with you many a time, but she did tell me after God healed me, she said, "Son, don't get too entangled with the world, because God's going to require something of you someday." I hated when she said that. I never told her that, but I hated when she'd say that to me, because I'd think, I'm not going to do anything. you know, I'm not going to do anything. But yet, God started dealing with me from a young age, you know. And he showed me one time, like I told you all before, when I was about, I guess I was about maybe 17, 16, somewhere in that area, maybe 15, I'm not sure. I would get under conviction, and I hadn't, you know, I would go to church with her when I was real little, and I went with her to church with her up until I was about 12 or 13, and then I quit going because I felt guilty when I went to church. And I don't think you should feel guilty when you go to church. So I'm not sure if I was hearing sermons that made me feel guilty or if somebody was giving me hellfire and damnation and all that other stuff. I'm not sure. But I know that even the first seizure I ever had, I was 9 years old. I was in church. It happened in church. Didn't happen out in the world. It happened in church. Excuse me. And it was after Sunday school, sitting there eating a red sucker, and I started having seizures. And when I was having those seizures, I thought it was a curse. I mean, I hated it. I questioned God. I would get alone sometimes and just say, why is this happening to me? You know, so on and so forth. But I learned a lot in that. I learned how to be compassionate toward other people. And I learned how to not make fun of people. And my kids could probably tell you, I didn't allow them to make fun of other people. I'd be on both feet if they were making fun of somebody else that had something wrong with them or anything else, because I understood that. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, she'd have to leave and go to work in the morning with me being 9 years old, having to walk to school, and you know she had to worry about it all day long. And yet she was very strong, and she did that. She didn't make excuses and try to lay home and have somebody else take care of us or anything like that. She raised us by herself, and she was very strong. And like I say, I think I probably made her cry more than any of the rest of them, because when I was younger, I got into a lot of things in school and problems and things. And I'm not proud of that. And the only reason I say that is because even in those midst of those situations, I learned a lot of things about myself and about anger and about hurt feelings and a whole bunch of other stuff. And, you know, I thank God for that, because it made me have a compassion when I'd see someone else have those kind of problems, because I understood it. And sometimes we don't understand the things that we go through. And you know, but yet everything that happens to us is for a purpose and for a reason. And God knows exactly what it takes for us to get on the other side of all these things, you know. And, you know, the two things that Mother said to me the most that I remember the most, because she didn't read the scriptures all the time. She did read the Bible a lot, and I did go to church with her quite a bit. I saw at that time, some of the greatest ministries that there was in the land, because wherever the move of God was, people would get up and drive 100 miles to go to church. Now people can't drive two blocks to go to church half the time or whatever. And maybe that's why God doesn't move as mightily as he did in times past. I don't know. Because the hunger and the determination are not there from people. But yet, I've seen them bring people in on stretchers, and you guys have seen a lot of this stuff too that went to this church years ago. I've seen them bring people in on stretchers, and I've seen go out pushing the stretcher out of there, the person that brought them in. You know, they'd walk alongside the stretcher because God healed them. And we know God can heal, and he does heal. And I think sometimes we don't take enough faith to believe that he is the healer at times. But there is times when God lets us go through things that we might have a testimony. You know, when you ask people, you know, have you got a testimony? A lot of times the testimonies that they have are not that great of a test, you know. But sometimes it's a really, really harsh test, you know. And, you know, I know that when I finally gave my life to the Lord, I gave my life at home. I wasn't in a church, hadn't been in a church for years. But I knew God was dealing with me, and I finally just went in one day. Got down on my knees in the bathroom, and I said, Lord, I give up. I can't run from you no more. And then his presence came into my life very, very strongly then. And, you know, then I was very backward, and any of you that knew me back years and years ago, which there's not too many of you that are old enough for that, when I first started coming to church here, I sat in the back row, didn't say anything to anybody, and didn't just listen, get ministered to, get up and leave. And, you know, because that's just was the kind of person I was. I didn't do a lot of talking to people, didn't do a lot of things. And eventually God started putting me in positions where I went into Sunday school class because Audrey told me, she says, Brother Oscar, I want you to come into Sunday school class. I want you to come into Sunday school class. And I went in there, and I listened to this, one of the elders doing some teaching that back then, and I didn't really want to say anything, but I felt like I was literally going to bust if I didn't. And I started, the scripture that the Lord gave me to share in that class was that God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And when I shared that, the brother that was teaching that class, he literally came out and said, you can't believe that. I said, well, I do. It was in Ephesians, you know. And I said, yes, I said, I do believe that. So it was about the sovereignty of God. So God had already started dealing with me about the sovereignty of God. How many is all things? All things. And you know what? When God lets you know something, then you know it and you can't deny it. And you mean that things that you think are bad in your life that happened bad, that's part of God's plan? I believe it is. I believe that anything that happens in your life, it's all part of his plan. It's part of you learning to know him in a greater way and trust him in a greater way. And when you do that, then you'll learn the lesson sometimes that he's trying to teach you, and sometimes it's not necessary to have the lesson anymore once you actually not learn it. But, you know, I've told you all that the best piece of advice I ever got was when Mother told me, she said, God hid from her that he'd been dealing with me, and I hadn't went to church yet. And I was riding back and forth to work with her every day. And Mother was very sensitive. She was very in tune with the Spirit of God. And, you know, she was into the deeper truths and stuff. I mean, even back then she was getting Ray Prinzing stuff and all that kind of stuff. And she was into all the deeper truths, you know. And I've told you that if me and Margaret were fussing with each other or arguing or something, I lived about 3/4 of a mile away from her down the street in an apartment building. We'd get a phone call, and she'd say, what's going on up there, down there? I'd say, what do you mean? She'd say, I was in praying, and the Lord brought you two before me, she says. And I thought, I'd say, well, nothing, Mother. I'd lie. I'd tell her nothing, but we'd be fussing, you know. We'd be going at it pretty good, not getting physical, but just fussing at each other pretty bad. And, you know, she was very sensitive to those things. If she told you, I don't think you should go out tonight or something when you was a kid, if you went out, you ended up getting a broken arm or falling off a tree or something happened to you usually, because she's just very sensitive in those areas. She had a tremendous spirit of discernment about things, and she was just very, very strong in that area. But she finally told me, after I told her that, she said, "What's going on with you?" We'd go up there every Sunday for dinner, and she'd say, "What's going on with you?" And I finally told her, I said, "Well, I gave my life to the Lord." She said, "I knew something was going on with you, but I couldn't put my finger on it." She said, "God hid that from me." And she said, "And I know why." And I said, "Why?" She said, "So I'd keep my hands off of it." And I thought, "That's good." She said, "I got one piece of advice for you." She said, "Learn to know God for yourself." And I've told you all that many times. She said, "Nobody else can know him for you. Only you have to know him for yourself." And that's true. A lot of people think grandma should know him, or dad should know him, or mom should know him, or somebody else. And they run right to that person when things go wrong. Well, who they need to run to is to the Lord directly. And that's who we need to teach them to run to directly. But anyway, I just want you to know that God has everything in control. You know, I saw the Lord move many times in my family over the years. I know that Mother raised four of us kids by herself. And I also know that she was very kind, and that she would take in her brothers when they came from Kentucky or whatever. And they all did good, and they all ended up being Christians, and they all ended up making way more money and everything than she ever made. And I don't remember any of them coming back and giving her any money or thanking her for letting them stay at his house. And that includes every one of them. And yet she was always there for them if they needed her. And, you know, yet my one uncle told me, he says, "Well, you know, I would have helped Irene, but she was so strong-willed." You know, well, that was just an excuse. You know, I can tell you that when we grew up, me and Wiley, when we grew up, we never had a man in our life to look up to. And, you know, probably the closest thing to somebody I had to look up to was my Uncle Fred, who wasn't a blood relative. He was married to my mother's sister, Helen. And Uncle Fred was a man's man and a cowboy type guy, you know. And I used to go up in the summer for one week, sometimes 2 weeks, and stay with my Uncle Fred, because he had a son that was 11 months younger than me, Freddie. And we were real close. We actually were closer than me and my brother were. And Fred would, he had two horses, and let us ride horses, and he took us out and taught us how to shoot guns and all that kind of stuff, boy stuff, men stuff, and I thank God for that. But, you know, out of all the time that Mother was alive, she was always someone that, you know, she had tremendous insight into the Word, and she knew about total reconciliation. She knew about all that stuff, and I can remember us going up to her house one time up in Blanchester after she finally moved up to Blanchester because she was working up there. I can remember us going up there, and I was sitting and talking to her, and I always used to glean stuff from Mother when we would talk sometimes. And I realized that the whole situation had flip-flopped. Now she was gleaning from me. And God was fulfilling what he had her tell me. You know, that don't get too entangled with the world. God's going to require things of you. And when I would tell her the things that the Lord was showing me and stuff, I could tell she was soaking it in, you know. And it almost made me cry when I sat there, because I thought, our roles have reversed. And that happens, you know. And anyway, so, you know, when she passed away, she not only was a mother, she was a spiritual encourager. She was like a best friend spiritually and in the natural to a certain extent. And I'm not saying that to take anything away from Margaret, because Margaret has always been a best friend, because we were friends and lovers both, you know. And that's what you need to find in a woman, and that's what a woman needs to find in a man, someone who can be their best friend and their lover, you know, that someone that loves them. And anyway, I'm going to tell you this on Mother's Day. Don't be hesitant to tell your mother how much you love her. Don't be hesitant to show her how much you love her. Because your time with them sometimes is short. Now, with me, I had a long time because my mother lived to be 89 years old. And, you know, she was strong and vigorous at 89 years old, even though her body was weak. And I wrote her this poem one time. And here's the way the poem goes. And I'm going to close with this. It's called Jesus. And it says, I didn't see the stars so bright or the manger where he lay. I didn't see him in the temple or along the Jordan Bay. I didn't see the marriage feast or the water turned to wine. I didn't see the young girl raised, or the man who Satan tried to bind. But I saw him in you, mother, when I saw you kneel and pray. I saw him in you, mother, when there was no other way. And I saw him in you, mother, even when I broke your heart, and the love and compassion that you still could impart. So on this day, I've tried to write and truly let you know that I love you, mother. I love you so. Tell your mother you love her. The day will come when you can't tell her anymore. So, anyway, I gave her that poem, you know, and she kept it. And then when she passed away, I got it back, you know. But at least that showed her life meant something. That I saw Jesus in her when I didn't see him in any of those miracles that happened. You know, I read about him, but I didn't see him. I wasn't there when they happened. But I saw the miracle of her love, her compassion, and even her correction. Because I'm telling you what, she'd correct us. And she did it. And if it's sort of like Jennifer said, she says, Dad, when I see you and Mom now, I ain't the mom and dad I grew up with when we deal with the grandkids. She says, it's not the same people. I said, well, maybe we learned something, you know. But, you know, but I can tell you that when Mother got old and she had my sister's kids kind of living with her, she was the grandma then. She was a soft old grandma. And actually let them take advantage of her too many times, because I actually got pretty aggravated over that at times, because they'd take advantage of her too many times. And she did things that I felt like were a little bit harmful because she subsidized them and helped them too many times, you know. And I felt like they didn't appreciate it. But you know what? Thank God that when she dealt with me and my brother, God didn't let her do that. And, you know, on Father's Day, she'd always tell me, I'd always give her a card and tell her Happy Father's Day. And she'd say, well, you don't have to do that. I'd say, I know I don't. I said, but you was both father and mother. And she was. And I think the father part was the Spirit of God in her rising up enough to correct us and straighten us up. And we weren't that easy to get along with at times. You know, me and Wally, we had some rip-roaring fights different times. And, you know, it's, I don't know how she put up with it, but we didn't do it when she was there. We always did it when she wasn't there. But I can remember the last time she got Wiley, he was 15, 16, and he thought he could just beat anybody in the world, you know. And he was the big fighter guy. And he did something. And she got a belt, and she wore him out. He told her, I'm leaving. I'm not staying here. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I believe her reply to him was, well, here, I'll give you $20, and I'll see you. You know where he went? Nowhere. Nowhere. And and mother, she was raised, spare the rod and spoil the child, and she'd wear you out. I mean, you know, she whipped me one time when I did something I can't remember what it was, and she wouldn't whip you when she was mad. She wouldn't get on you when she was mad. She would actually wait sometimes a day or so until she felt like the Lord said, now, do it now. And she wasn't mad when she got you. And buddy, she'd lay it on you because she wasn't doing it in anger then. She was doing it in correction. And there's a difference. And I'll tell you what, she'd get you pretty good sometimes. But I tell you what, I would have rather her hit me over the head with a 2x4 than make her cry. And I probably made her cry more than any of the rest of them. And I'm sorry about that to this day. But, you know, I went through a lot of emotional things as a kid with having that epilepsy and stuff. And people would say goofy stuff and do goofy stuff. And, you know, I was really touchy with it. And, you know, and I've had people say to me, Oscar, you seem to be so calm and everything. It's the Lord. Because it isn't my natural thing. It's the Lord that makes me be calm. And he's changed me a lot over the years. He really has. And, you know, but I just want you to know I appreciate the mothers. And I had a mother and a father in the same person. And, you know, I never had a man to teach us how to be a man. We just learned stuff on our own. Me and Wiley both learned to work on cars and all that stuff by ourselves. None of her brothers stepped in and did anything with us or anything else. And she had five brothers, you know, and every one of them stayed at our house just about at one time or another and stuff. But, you know, when they were trying to get their feet on the ground. But thank God, even my grandfather, who was kind of a mean man when they were growing up, he ended up giving his life to the Lord. All the brothers and all the sisters gave their life to the Lord. He got a hold of the whole family, you know, and I thank God for that. And you all heard Uncle Wiley speak different times, you know. And I will tell you, my brother was named after him and after my other brother, my other uncle, Lloyd. And I will tell you what Wiley's name means. Wiley's name means leaping warrior. And he tried to fulfill that name. He was always, when he was a teenager, he was always going out with the guys who fought and all that. And they'd go to bars and get in fights and stuff, and he'd do that stuff. But when he finally, he straightened out later on as he got older, when he was a teenager, he was sort of like me in the sense that he looked a lot older than what he was. And he could go in them places when he was 14 years old or 15 years old, you know. And he ran around with some of the rough boys in the neighborhood, you know. I never ran around with them guys because, I'll be honest with you, I thought they was all a bunch of punks, to be honest with you. That's the way I looked at it. My brother used to say to me when I'd be walking down the street, he'd say, so-and-so said, your brother's walking down the street. And they used to call it, when you walk down the street, if they thought you had an attitude, they'd call it pimping, you know, not being a pimp, but pimping, they'd call it. They'd say, he looked like he was pimping down the street. My brother'd say, you need not walk like that. Them guys are saying stuff. I said, I don't care about them guys. I said, you know, but, you know, I the Lord kept me from a whole lot of things, and I thank God that he did. Never told Mark and them anything that I did when I was a kid, when they were growing up, because I didn't want them saying, well, you did it, Dad. You know, no, because I learned my lesson. And I made sure that they didn't do it. You know, but anyway, if you all come, I'll stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. I know this has been an unusual sermon here today, but I just want you to know, love your mother, love your father. Like the scripture said, it's the only one with promise. It's number 5 of the Ten Commandments. And the number 5 is the number for grace. You want the grace of God on your life? Treat your parents well. Do right by them. Love them. Don't give them a hard time. Because if you do, you just might not have the grace of God resting on you as much as you would have had you treated them right. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into your presence right now. I thank you for having a mother that was exactly the right one for me. And I thank you for all of the things that she taught me and all of the things that she meant to my life. I thank you most of all that she corrected me when I needed it. And she did correct me sometimes. And thank God that she did, because a lot, you know, mother wasn't a very big person, and us, me and my brother both were way bigger than she was, you know. But when she corrected you, you just took it and didn't say anything, you know. But anyway, Father, I just ask you to bless all the mothers today, bless everyone here. And we give you all the praise and glory because you knew exactly who we needed, when we needed it, and how we needed it. And you might say, "But Oscar, you don't know my mom. She was meaner than a snake." Well, you needed a mom meaner than a snake to make you what God wanted you to be. So praise God. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you all.